Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Happy Father's Day Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio with your Sunday Spin. And joining me in the Allstate Showcase studio is Don Schaefer. He's Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association and another good dad.
Good. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there, my dad out in Arlington Heights and everyone else.
It's a happy dad shout out day.
Today it is. That's right.
Yes, indeed.
A lot of cookouts.
And a beautiful day for it. Well, I wanted to have Don on the show because there's an increasing concern among folks in the transportation industry as the budget impasse continues and continues and continues. And, yeah, we all kind of gripe about, summer being road construction season. But at the same time, we've had this continued deterioration of the state's infrastructure. It's a prime infrastructure. It's roads and bridges. And, you know, here we talked earlier this morning about a bond sale for infrastructure repair and that, and we don't even have an appropriation for most of that money. And, you know, we're looking not only from the infrastructure aspect, but the job aspect as well.
We're looking at a drop-dead date maybe is the best way to put it. You know, if we don't have an appropriation, in other words, if the General Assembly doesn't appropriate the money that's sitting there, projects could stop on July 1. There is a tremendous amount of road work going on right now around the state of Illinois. Roads, bridges, a lot of basic infrastructure that's funded by, state federal money. But the General Assembly has to appropriate that money for the new fiscal year, which starts July 1. They haven't done that yet. We're talking, approximately $2 billion in the next year for work around the state of Illinois, none of that work can start after July 1 because no one's decided how to spend that money yet.
But the issue, unlike some other areas of government, is not about, where does the money come from or cuts or any of that nature. It's money that is being generated and exists.
The money's there. That's just it. The pot of money is there. The problem is that the General Assembly has to take legislative action to move on it, and they haven't done that yet. And the real problem, in terms of people saying, why is this such a high priority? Well, like you said, Rick, it's not just the road work itself, but the tens of thousands of people in the state of Illinois who are employed, on these road projects, on these infrastructure projects, anything from a sewer repair to repairing a bridge, a lot of new construction going on roadways and fixing up what's out there already. And that means, tens of thousands of jobs could be in jeopardy come July 1.
Yeah, I think the Transportation for Illinois Coalition said that by losing the construction season, it's an immediate loss of 25,000 jobs.
And that's direct jobs. That does not mean spinoff either, because then you have suppliers who supply all the goods and services and the hard materials that are needed for that work. All the truck operators out there moving
truck tires. Tires.
And moving rock, sand, and gravel and that type of thing. So the repercussions are major. And the real problem is that if, in fact, there is no money as of July 1, you just can't walk away from a project. You just say, let's just put down our tools and walk away. You've got to secure the site. You have to do all these different things to make sure that, things are safe and secure. Now, some of the big companies will say, we can limp along for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, because we got deep pockets. We know the state's going to pay us. But you got a lot of small suppliers. You've got a lot of minority business enterprises that by law have a stake in the whole game. And usually they're underfunded or, it's very tight. Well, they don't have the money to limp along for a couple weeks. They're the ones that are going to be the quickest victims.
And I mean, in some respects, it's like every other vendor in the state of Illinois is that, you're betting that something's going to get done and it's going to get resolved. And it's the state basically trying to take out a loan on these vendors. And a lot of them are on the margins.
like we said the last two segments, we're all waiting for Springfield. I mean, that's the best way to put it, because, you know, a lot of different entities, a lot of different groups get caught up in the politics of Springfield. In this type of a situation, you know, the state infrastructure already has been deteriorating. We've kind of underfunded infrastructure repair and work over the last couple of years. You know, there's a lot of movement out there. They're saying, you know, just like bond sales, now is a wonderful time maybe to look at how you can fund road construction and repair. At the same time, we're going to see, hopefully on the ballot in November, a constitutional amendment proposal that basically is what's called a lockbox amendment. What that means is that if the money that you pay for motor fuel taxes, registration on your car, all that money goes into the road fund. But what this constitutional amendment says, you got to spend it for infrastructure work. The problem right now is every year, you know, over $500 million a year is swept out of there. And it's used for non-highway construction, non-bridge repair work that will never come back. You know, the state's lost, or we shouldn't say the state, but the motoring public has lost $6 billion over the last decade.
Money being swept out of the road fund for non-highway purposes.
Right. It goes into that big black hole. But it never comes back out. Well, you know, it's not paying for pavement. It's not paying for anything that has anything at all to do, you know, with transportation. So this is going to be on the ballot in November, and it's going to be very important that people understand that voting for this constitutional amendment basically means truth in taxation. It means that the money you spend on gas taxes, the money you spend on your registration fee for your car, truck, vehicle, whatever, that money, it says it's going to not tie the hands, but it's going to force Springfield to use that money for one thing only.
The way it was supposed to.
The way it was intended to be. And it's been very successful in Wisconsin and Missouri. They both passed similar constitutional amendments. And it really does make a difference, because that is money that maybe forces the state not to have to look at alternatives where to get money.
Well, or forces them to look at other ways. If you're going to spend at certain X level, then come up with a way to do it.
Sure, and we always say our hands are not hands are tied, but times are tough, and we don't have the money. Well, I mean, you're looking right now every year, you know, $500 million that, you know, that goodbye, it's gone. And this will preserve that money, and it's, like I said, truth in taxation.
And not Al Gore's lock box.
Well, not the lock box, but, I mean, it. You know, that's a funny way to put it, but it's true. The money goes into a box, if you want to call it that, and it's safe and secure. So we're going to keep pushing.
We're speaking with Don Schaefer. He's Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm speaking with Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association, and we're talking about the very real prospect of not having a road construction season in this state. And while you might think as a motorist that's a good thing, when you look at the fact of how far behind the state is in doing its infrastructure repairs, it's one more sign of truly a crumbling state. I mean, that's how I view it.
And it's not getting any better. I think that some of the numbers that had come out, you know, they had said a couple of years ago that, you know, our roads were in really good condition. And but in the last 4 or 5 years, I think Metropolitan Planning Council had said that we have gone from 89% in good roads down to you know, like 68%, I think it is. And so we're seeing this gradual drop in.
Well, it seems more than gradual. It's a, you know, when you talk about that short of a time span,
sure.
I mean, that seems more as a precipitous one. And truly, if we're going to have this vaunted grand bargain dealing with the state budget anytime soon, to me, there always has to be a capital component. And part of it is the political, that if there's a little bit of pork and some ribbon cutting and that kind of thing, it makes the medicine go down easier for any kind of tax increase that's going to have to be done. So I assume, you know, you guys are out there talking capital
Sure, we're talking capital big time. I mean, I think that, you know, from the trucking industry standpoint, I mean, we use the roads like everybody else. You know, we beat them up like everybody else. You know, we pay more taxes, but still, you know, the economy depends on a good infrastructure. It depends on the trucks to be able to move stuff. It depends on people to be able to drive to work
and
those
things.
Well,
this state is important as any when it comes to that kind of the road highway infrastructure.
And probably more than any other state in the country, because we are the crossroads for transportation between railroads, you know, the trucking industry, the airlines, the barge lines, everything. You know, we are the transportation hub of the country. You know, no matter what they say in California, no matter what they say in Jersey, everything meets here in the middle. And that's how it works. And you got to have the infrastructure to support it. And we, you know, right now it's tough because, you know, we haven't, you know, people don't want to talk about raising the motor fuel tax. We've gone 25 years since the last time we raised the motor fuel tax here in Illinois. We do not have by any means the highest motor fuel tax in the country. You know, at the same time, we've got, you know, the state motor fuel tax hasn't been touched. The federal motor fuel tax hasn't been touched in just about the same amount of time. So, you know, do we look at a motor fuel tax increase? Do we look at, you know, no politician's going to vote to increase car registration fees. So that's off the table, especially on an election year. Senator President Cullerton talked about.
I wanted to ask you about this, and frankly, you and I had talked about this very issue a while back on this show about the, you know, is the idea of a motor fuel tax kind of outdated because of the efficiency of cars and being able to go further on a gallon of gas, and then you bring in things like hybrids, you bring in things like Teslas and electric cars, which don't pay any kind of vehicle mileage tax except for their registration and license plate, about a true kind of a mileage-based tax. And we had Senator Cullerton bring up this subject and almost got booed off the table. And I've always, you know, to me, it's about modernization and adapting to the way things are. And the reaction to Senate President Cullerton was overwhelmingly negative.
That didn't go over real well. I mean, to put it mildly, I mean, it was.
Oh, you're spinning for him now.
Well, the vehicle mile taxes, it is a concept that should be looked at, but not on a statewide basis. A VMT is, as you said, it basically would be a tax. A mileage tax on your vehicle. You know, some say, well, you would report it on your income tax. You'd report it someplace, and sooner or later, you know, you can cheat, but it'll catch up with you when you sell the car. But a VMT has to be looked at on a national basis. It won't work on a state-by-state basis because, you know, cars go between states. If a state has it in one state and another one they don't, and do you trade off the motor fuel tax for a VMT? I mean, that's a real dilemma right now. I just don't think that the time right now is right unless it comes out of Washington. It's going to have to be a national issue to be discussed.
Well, look at how the debate went so long over a reauthorization of,
sure,
of the highway bill. And did that topic even ever come up?
It did, but it kind of got pushed to the side. You know, there just doesn't seem to be.
But everybody acknowledges the problem,
sure,
that the tax does not adequately reflect society's needs and use of highways today.
And that's so true. But if you get a politician in Washington who proposes a new tax, then, you know, that's almost, that's suicide. I mean, you know, so they're afraid to really, other than maybe study it and look at it, there's just a very small group out there that really seems to be a proponent for a VMT. And unfortunately, you know, they aren't even, but then we say, okay, how about stopgap? We have to do something then, a minimum motor fuel tax increase. You know, fuel prices have been down, an ideal situation, ideal time to you know, add a small motor fuel tax increase to generate some extra money. And it didn't happen. And, you know, right now with the, you know, so close to an election, no politician's going to vote for a tax increase before November.
So when we look at like a capital bill, a construction, what size are we looking at?
Well, the
based on needs.
Well, and based on needs. Right now, and based on reality,
yeah.
You know, we have the IDOT put out a five-year plan that talks about basically spending about $11 billion plus over the next couple of years on projects that they deem realistically they can take care of. On the other hand, you have groups like MPC, the Metropolitan Planning Council. I mean, they've talked about $43 billion in needs, and that's basically to bring the system up to par that we haven't had, you know, trying to get us back up where we should be in terms of maybe where we were under the days of, hey, some of the great deal makers, you know, and that's what they were, you know, the guys, you know, the Jim Thompsons, the George Ryans, who put together these big deals that really, you know, help put together these grand plans that we have in place right now.
Well, and if there is going to be a capital plan, and we talked to Marty Luby this right. morning about mm-hmm. bonds and that kind of thing, is that normally there has to be a dedicated revenue source, either, and he mentioned that video poker was one for the last capital program, and there were questions even then about whether video poker was going to generate enough revenue, and, you know, were they going to have to siphon off money from general revenue to pay for it? But, you know, if there is room in the gas tax, which appears to be probably the most efficient way right now, yeah. you take that and throw it with the lockbox amendment and be able to take advantage of these low interest rates to be able to leverage something.
And that would be the secret combination. I mean, the fact is that, you know, that constitutional amendment, you know, has a lot of teeth to it. And, you know, if you can say, hey, we know we're going to get $500 million a year in extra transportation funding, you know, that's monumental. Maybe tie it to, you know, a motor fuel tax increase, and people complain about it, but again, it's a user fee. It's based on how much you drive. If you drive more, you buy more fuel, then you're gonna pay the motor fuel tax. But unless you really, you know, think about it, motor fuel tax is off the table right now, and lockbox, I think, has a good chance of passing in November. It needs, you know, 60% of those voting to vote for it in November.
But it also seems like everything other than that, everything is off the table right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and again, it that's why the state, you know, when they put together their long-range plan, it's a minimal plan. It does not include major work. You know, no major projects that are listed in there anymore because they're limping along, and they're a victim of what's been happening probably the last 6-7 years in terms of you know, capital funding.
Well, we were able to do road work this up until July 1st,
sure.
because that was one part of the budget that did get signed.
That's right, and you know, and between court orders and everything else, we were able to have a road program that we were able to at least keep going this year. But right now we're sitting here, you know, we got 2 weeks left in the fiscal year, and there are no indications of any, you know, stopgap budget, and that's what it's going to take to get us at least keep moving after July 1.
Well, and it seems like everybody's focus, too, has been on schools and education as being a pressure point.
Sure.
But does anybody understand that this also is a pressure point?
Well, you know, and that's very delicate because of the fact people say, where's our priorities? And you want to be able to say, you know, our priorities, of course, are taking care of the kids and taking care of those people with special needs. But transportation, you know, is the lifeblood of the state of Illinois. And with transportation and infrastructure, you generate the tax revenue you need to fund those things.
I mean, it's another sign of just this crumbling state of the state.
Dysfunctionality.
And I know that the Rauner administration, for their part, that they have spoken about this issue, too, about the need to keep a transportation program going. And as much as you touched on, you know, what are our priorities, and yes, we've talked so much about the safety net programs that are just collapsing underneath us, as you said, you know, if you have to kind of dismantle a construction project on July 1, you're going to be spending so much more money in the end to have to go back in and restart a project.
Sure, it's not easy. And that's not easy because it's mechanical. It's, you know, manpower, all of that, and you just can't walk away, like you said, from a job. And that's, there's thousands of them around the state.
It's another sign of the state that we live in. That's amazing. Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association, thanks so much for getting up with me this morning and joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio.
Glad to be here, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.